Great job again. Winston Churchill said that his greatest achievement, my most brilliant achievement, was my ability to be able to persuade my wife to marry me. And that's probably my greatest achievement as well, is persuade my wife to marry me. Proverbs 18:22 says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So if you have found a wife, you've attained favor from the Lord, and my wife is my good thing, Scripture said. She is my good thing, and I often remind her of that, that she's my good thing. That's scriptural. Cal and Justin were about to eat. Babysitter sat down with them. As they were about to eat, the babysitter sits in daddy's chair. And Kyle says to the babysitter, "That's daddy's chair. You can't sit there." And the babysitter says, "Well, since daddy's not here, I'm the boss. And I get to sit in daddy's chair." And Justin says, "Well, if you're the boss, you have to sit in mama's chair." We chuckle because there's a lot of truth to that. Today, we're going to look at snapshots of Jesus' mom. We're going to actually look at three snapshots that are taken in the relationship that Jesus has with his mom. And parents, how would you like to have had the responsibility of raising Jesus? What a mind-boggling responsibility. I would think, you know, thinking about that, you're wondering, okay, who's going to tell who what to do? You know, who's going to follow who? As we look at these snapshots, there's some things that I have to puzzle over because of the relationship that Jesus had with his mom and the relationship mom had with Jesus, and see who wears the pants. So the first snapshot has to do with Jesus when he's 12 years old. This is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. You're probably very familiar with this passage of Scripture. It's where Jesus has gone to the temple to a feast, to a festival with his parents. He's 12 years old. And he's there and he's enjoying his time in Jerusalem and having a great time there. And it's time to go home. And so mom and dad leave to go to Nazareth. And after going towards home, it's a 3 days journey to Nazareth. And after about a day, they're wondering, where's Jesus? Have you ever left your kids at church? I left Mike at church 2 or 3 times, I think. He wasn't happy, nor was my wife happy. We found him, by the way. He wasn't gone a whole day. It was just a little while. But Jesus was gone a whole day. So the parents assumed that Jesus was going to be either with friends or with relatives. And they couldn't find him anywhere. And they thought, oh no, we've lost our kid. Have you ever lost your kid? How does that feel? And so there, I'm sure, in a panic. And they said, "Bet, we've got to go back to Jerusalem, and we've got to find him." And so they take another day to get to Jerusalem. The next day, they start looking. Now, probably that night. But the next day, they find him. And they find him talking to the leaders, the teachers of the law, the scribes, those who are in charge of the ministry in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus assumes that his parents would know where he is. And he assumes that when they're ready to go home, they'll come get him. But there's no communication. No cell phones. No texts. And the parents assume that Jesus is going to be there with them traveling home, and that Jesus assumes that his parents are going to come find him because he says, "Don't you know I'm going to be about my Father's business?" Now, just kind of go along with me, if you will. How many of you have ever had a child that just loves to fish? Any of you? And you knew that if he wasn't around, you would go to the river and you would find him on the fishing bank. Or if you have a child that likes to play sports, and he's nowhere around, you think, "Okay, I know where he is. He's out playing sports with his friends." And you go find him because you know that's where he is. So Jesus loved to absorb God's Word. And he loved to be around people who talked about God's Word. And he just assumed, if I'm not with mom and dad, they'll know where to find me. And so as we read this passage of Scripture, in verse 49 he says to his parents, "But why did you need to search for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" The King James Version says, "In my father, about my Father's business." Literally, that means the things, "Don't you know that I would be about the things of my Father? Don't you know that I would be about the things of my Father?" He's 12 years old. And he's decided that he wants to be about the things of his Father. They did not, Scripture says, they didn't know what he meant. At that time, they all returned to Nazareth, verse 51. He returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So number one, Jesus wanted to be about his Father's business. I want to ask you a question. If you were about your Father's business, would your life look any different today than it looks right now? I want to encourage you. One day, you're going to pass from this life. And whatever business you've been about, if it's not about the Father's business, you're not going to have a lot to show for your life. Okay? And I just want to encourage you that every morning, wake up and say, "Father, I want to be about your business today." he understands you've got to make a living. He understands that there are things and responsibilities, and that's part of his business. Okay? But praying, I said, Lord, I want to be a part of your business today. So show me what your business is. I want to encourage you to do that. And I guarantee you, your life will just be so joyful and happy. You will be so grateful for what God does through you because you're about his business rather than your own business. Okay? So how many 12-year-olds do we have in here today? One. How old are you, Noah? You're 14. Sam is 13. And Nicholas is 11. 12. That's all right. He's 12 years old. He will be 12. Anyway, whatever age there are, I want to encourage you, even at this age, Jesus had been practicing, Father, show me your business. Father, show me your business. And his business was to be about the Father. Now, in verse 51, he says, Scripture says, and he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Now, this is not to imply that Jesus wasn't obedient before 12 years old. Okay? That's not to imply that. But I think what he's talking about and what he's telling us, how many of you rebelled when you were a teenager? Both feet, both hands. I think what he's telling us here is that Jesus didn't go through the normal teen rebellion. That he chose to be obedient to his parents. He chose that. He could have rebelled, but he chose to be obedient to them. And then Scripture says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature with God and men. Now, you need to understand this, that Jesus has to mature just like any other kid has to mature. Just because he was the Son of God did not mean he was formally mature. He may have made some bonehead decisions. He never sinned. Probably not talking to his parents about going to the temple was not the best decision. Okay? There's no sin. It just, we all make mistakes. Right? No sin, just, oh, I didn't think about that. Didn't cross my mind that I need to tell mom and dad I was going to stay at the temple. It wasn't out of rebellion. He was just being a boy. Okay? Not giving you an excuse, kids, to not communicate. I'm just telling you. There's an easier, we have a better ways of communication today than we did back in Jesus' day. Even when I was a kid. So, Jesus had to grow up. He became mature. And part of that maturity had to be the responsibility of Joseph and Mary's instructions in his life. Snapshot number one. Snapshot number two is to at a wedding. This is funny to me. Here Jesus, let's just read it so we can get it in context. John chapter 2 verses 1 through 12. So we're going to fast forward about 18 years. Jesus is about 30 years old. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mom was there. And Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus replies, "Dear woman, that's not our problem. My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. And standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. So we're talking about 150 to 180 gallons. It's a big party. And Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine, but you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. And after the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. Now, first thing you need to understand that Joseph is not in the picture. Okay? I don't know what happened to Joseph. He maybe has passed away by this time. He's no longer in the picture. We don't see him at the cross. We don't see him anywhere else. The last time we see him, it's Jesus' 12th year when he went to the temple. That's the last time we see Joseph. But this passage in verse 4, Jesus said, Mom, she says, hey, son, we don't have any more wine here. And Jesus said, Mom, that's not my business. That's not your business. That's their business. I'm not going to take responsibility because they ran out of wine. And besides that, it is not time for me to be thrust into public ministry. It's not time. And do you know what Mary did? She ignored him. She ignored what Jesus had to say. I can imagine her just giving him the look. You know what I mean? Son? Just imagine. Mom, that's not our problem. Mom, it's not time for me to be thrust into public ministry. She ignored anything he said, and she said, hey guys, y'all go get some water and do whatever he tells you. Boy, she put him in a spot, didn't she? And he either had to let mama look like a fool, or he had to obey mama. Mary was still mom, even though she had a son 30 years old who didn't want to do what she said. Mom said, y'all go get some water. Just do what he tells you to do. Now, these weren't even her servants. These were somebody else's servants. Mary was a pretty forceful person, it seems to me. A woman of authority. It's like, wow, Mary, I never saw that side of you before. We always look at her as this little gentle, meek. But maybe that's not all the side of Mary. I'm sure she was that, but there was more to Mary than just that. Mary is actually the one who thrust Jesus into the ministry. OK? take them out of the ditch. And here's one thing. We find there that it says that Mary treasured these things in her heart. And this is not the only time that statement is made. It's made another time, at least one other time. And Mary treasured these things in her heart. Now here's what was going on. Mary was recognizing the giftings and the talents that God had given her son. And when Jesus would do, and I'm sure it wasn't just for Jesus. I'm sure it was for all of her children. I wish we had a journal of Mary's. I don't even know if she had could read or write. I don't know that. But it would have been wonderful if we would have had a journal of Mary, of Jesus' growing up and the things that she treasured in her heart. And the record that she had made regarding Jesus. Because when it came time, she said, basically, I know your giftings, I know your talents, and I know God has planned a purpose for you, and now it's time to move in. Oh, that we would be so attentive to our children, that we could recognize what God has put in them and then push them toward that goal. Not the goal of making millions. Not the goal of material assets. But push them toward the goal that God has planned for them. Scripture says to raise a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. But a lot of times I think parents, we don't recognize the way they should go. We don't recognize what God has put in there, our children. And so therefore we're not raising them to go in that direction. We may push them toward a whole lot of different things, but I think we ought to be more like Mary and push them toward what God has in store for them. I'm not saying that everybody's going to be a preacher. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that everybody's going to be a music leader. That's not what I'm saying. But God has a purpose and a plan for every single child, every single person here. And as we recognize what that is as parents, and I think that's a huge responsibility that we as parents have, that we need to recognize and we need to build up those characters, those giftings, those talents that God has established in them so that they can fulfill God's call for their life. That's a huge responsibility. And that's what Mary and Joseph did. They took that responsibility and made it their number one goal in life. Jesus didn't get away with nothing. Part of the reason he didn't get away with nothing is because the parents had some firm boundaries in place. And they knew, the children knew what was expected of them. Third snapshot is at the cross. John 19. 25 through 27. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, or Jesus' aunt. Also, there was Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. A lot of Marys. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. During Jesus' day, it was the responsibility of the eldest son to take care of his mom if the dad had preceded her in death. Jesus was the eldest son. It was his responsibility to take care of his mom since the passing of his dad. Jesus was hanging on a cross. Put yourself just a minute in Jesus' place. He had no sleep the night before. Early that morning, or late the preceding night, he was arrested by the Roman soldiers, taken and beaten till he couldn't stand hardly. His flesh was ripped. He was weak from loss of blood. They platted a crown of thorns, placed it on his head. He was in agonizing pain. They drove spikes in his hands and in his feet, hung him on a cross. He was in agonizing physical pain. But not only was he in agonizing physical pain, he was hurting mentally and emotionally and spiritually as he had never hurt before. The reason was because Jesus had never sinned. Therefore, he didn't know what guilt felt like. He didn't know what shame felt like. He didn't know what hatred felt like. He didn't know what resentment felt like. He didn't know what murder felt like. He didn't know what any sin felt like because he was innocent. But Scripture says that on the cross that God put all the world's sins upon him. The sins from Adam and Eve, to Abraham, to Isaac, to this present day. Your sins upon the cross, and even people who are coming after you, the whole world's sins were placed on Jesus' cross. Upon Jesus. As he was hanging on the cross. Not only was he agonizing physically, but he was agonizing spiritually. And who does he look for? He's hanging on the cross. And the worst pain he had ever felt. The worst pain anyone could ever feel. And he looks for his mom. He looks for his mom. And he sees her standing beside a disciple. He refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And most theologians perceive that to be John. His mom can't take care of you anymore. This disciple of mine, he's going to take care of you. Then he turns his gaze toward John and he says, John, you take care of my mom. It probably wasn't like that. It was probably like, John, take care of my mom. And from that day forward, mom went home with John. Stayed in his house until the end of her days. Jesus loved his mom. Jesus loved his mom. We need to show honor. We need to show respect. I don't care how old our mom gets. Or how old we get. There should never be a time when we dishonor our moms or our dads. We should always, always, always honor them. If Jesus did it, even when he was living at home at 30 years old, even when he was dying on a cross, we we should always honor our parents. There's a commandment. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And there is a promise that comes with that, so that your days may be long upon the day, so that your life may be long upon the day, upon the earth which the Lord gives you. There's a promise that comes with being obedient. And let's just say that your parents were not the most godly people, and they really didn't encourage you and thrust you out in the way that God would have you. You know, it's never too late. Because you have a Father in heaven who can be a mother to you as well. It's not too late to say, I'm going to be about my Father's business.